Welcome, everyone, to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast by Fantastic Geek, your official, unofficial voice of the Marvel Cinematic Community. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hello, Pete.
I guess now would be an awkward time to hug. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 607, told ya, is brought to you by Viruvian Steel, the heaviest metal in the galaxy, unless you've heard of vibranium.
Pete, here it is. It's hot summer weather. All right, we're talking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now. We've been talking Jessica Jones. We did some Star Trek podcasting today that drops tomorrow on the Pop Culture Podcast feed. We got Spider-Man next week closing out the latest phase of the MCU. This is just the best of times. This is the best in the multiverse.
You know what could make that better?
What's that, Pete?
A giveaway. So stay tuned later in the podcast for the special giveaway we're going to tie together with our Spider-Man Far From Home podcast.
Pete, I might be a little fried by the sun. I'm not entirely sure that I know what the giveaway is, so I can't wait to tune in. But let's dig into this episode.
Debrief. When we catch you up on what went down, alternative rock music plays above Kitson City.
Yes, Pete, that of course on the planet Kitson, let's not forget. Beardo is back. He's not into joining teams, although he is feeling some team feelings as he talks to unnamed gal with red hair. More on her later. Fitzsimmons and Enoch beam in. Oopsie, Enoch did not mean for that. Where did that transport disc go? Pete, turns out a broski has it. Then all of a sudden, he's gone. Now they're stranded. Simmons just wants to go home.
The title card and then light and shadows long way down in the elevator in the lighthouse. And nobody's talking, Matt. The chatterbox snowflake wants somebody to speak to.
Now, Pete, I know this is a pretty intense scene, and I know this because there's some guitar music going, just really hammering home that things are cool but tough. The elevator reaches the bottom. We, of course, see guards. We see Sarge. We see May. Snow's sent to holding. Sarge, however, is going to be questioned. Everyone is shocked to see Coulson's face there. Deke, too. That's right, Pete. Deke's in the episode!
Yes, you gotta love that regular status for Jeff Ward, whatever apparently that means, seven episodes in.
I'm hoping that means that we're going to see him in the next six and all of season seven. But for now, Sarge reminds everyone that this is not the real Coulson. I think it's some exposition just to make sure everybody in the audience is keeping track. There's so many feelings going on. May reminds us, Mac, that Sarge is 100 years old and stopping Shrike from destroying that planet. See, Pete, effortless exposition. And here's where we get some potential double talk out of Sarge. Sarge telling Mac he needs to be let go or everyone dies. That ends up with Sarge being thrown in the cell. Pete, I infer Mac does not believe Sarge.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't believe him either here. The details about the Shrike and the discussion with Yo-Yo here, she did it wrong. They take some time to die, and that's on her. And obviously, things are going to get hairy unless they put him in charge.
Back to Kitson City, Pete. That's on the planet Kitson. Enoch reminds Fitzsimmons to be enthused observers. Simmons gives a woo-hoo. They note, finally, the exit is clear. Our three head for it. By the way, Fitz not exactly having some giddy up in his step here. With that, the giant green man, the kind of major domo, as you might say, is there, saying to the three that Mr. Kitson will be happy that the party has returned. Gasp, Pete, they're not leaving anytime soon.
They're not. Mr. Kitson wants to see them.
With that, we cut back to Earth. We cut to Jacko, who's coughing on Earth's air. Yo-Yo goes to talk to him and says that they've captured Sarge. Jacko recalls his beautiful home world, his siblings. You know, Pete, they were all so much bigger than him. He, the runt of the litter. They were all going to be bakers. That beautiful world is gone. But Sarge saved Jacko.
Yeah, some interesting details we'll dig into a little bit later in the Level 7 segment. But yeah, Sarge was the source of his salvation here. They're all fertilizer except for him. And if they release him, then perhaps he'll be a help.
Indeed. And this continues Sarge kind of saying things that sound evil, even if there's a perspective where he's not being evil. Bottom line, as Mac and Sarge speak, Mac reiterates that the Shrike creator is a monster or a god. And Mac says there's only one god, and he, that's Mac, not the capital H, he, Pete. Mac wants to protect his people. Sarge, however, says that he, Sarge, not he, the Lord, or he, Mac, will be in charge by the end of the day to end the act.
Act two begins with Daisy making chit-chat about the scoring on the engine housing before Deke comes to see her, and talk of the stab wound and some vintage 88 Jordans.
Yes, that Jordan that Deke knows about, the revolutionary who invented shoes. Oh, by the way, effortless expositional recap. Deke is super rich now, courtesy of his tech company. He was inspired by Daisy, which, Pete, is the understatement of the episode. but let's talk about her space adventure. That's what he wants. Bottom line, they found Fitz. Wait, what? This angers Deke, and that's going to continue into the next scene, Pete. But first, take us to that scene.
Mac and May talking here. They got to start calling Sarge something else. Folsen, maybe. But it's all evasion and mind games out of Sarge. He's got to be curious about Coulson, though. They intend to bait him. Deke comes in all upset, wants to know why Mac didn't tell him. This proves, Matt, his entire multiverse theory that may or may not be part of Spider-Man Far From Home that we'll discuss next weekend.
Oh, man. At the very least, Pete, somebody saw a preview for Spider-Verse in spring of last year and decided to incorporate that into a script reference for Deke in this episode that shot summer of last year. But bottom line is Deke's angry he wasn't consulted. After all, however, he left. Mac says that Deke will get his chance at missions to bring Fitzsimmons home. For now, can he crack Sarge's tech, what with his big brain and all? Pete, it's like Deke, who previously did not have much to do in the story, now has been given both an intermediate and long-term goal.
Yes, to check out this tech that the S.H.I.E.L.D. people, obviously, because of their low-tech, low-innovation skills, can't get into.
Cut to Snow, who notes in passing that Jocko's burning is worth it. Pete, that's what you call foreshadowing, because I initially thought that it was more a metaphorical, you know, sometimes you need to go through difficult times to learn how to get over them. No, he's building up his burning in order to free them. They're doing kind of a variation of the sick prisoner routine here, but more on that later. Sarge is brought to see the director. Wait, Pete. Director Coulson. Sarge is face-to-face with Hollow Coulson. Is this personal? Is Sarge even a person, Pete?
Hollow Coulson lives. But the tense discussion here, Matt, must be strange, Mac notes, looking at the real deal when you're just a knockoff. Great line. But Sarge is going to be satisfied when he takes Mac out of the picture.
And Mac also talks about how Coulson put a value on life, on loyalty. Hey, Sarge, maybe we can all get on the same page, maybe help out Jacko here. The answer, however, is no. Back we go, Pete, to Kitson City, Planet Kitson, to see Mr. Kitson. Fitzsimmons and Enoch are called to see him. And Pete, it's Anthony Michael Hall. Oh my goodness, who would have thunk it?
Wouldn't it be Mr. Kitson the third, though, because the photo on the wall is his grandfather. He was a son of a bee. But Anthony Michael Hall here, another 50 something foil for Coulson, perhaps, eventually? Or Sarge? Or both? Or neither?
Certainly within the episodes, yes. Do we get a Kitson v. Clark Gregg character moment? I mean, come on, Pete. These people were not born about 50 years ago, and they didn't become actors, so they couldn't have a showdown of similarly aged guys. Let's not forget, though, Pete, let's not glance over Kitson the First. He came to the planet with 200, is it 220 Yakulian slaves, Pete? I can't read my notes.
Does it really matter?
It was a certain number of Yakulian slaves and a dream. They built and built this place. And Fitzsimmons wonder why they just can't let, he can't just let them go home for everyone to be decent. However, the three are going to be useful. Everyone laughs. Pete, turns out in a moment, Kitson will be the one laughing, because what is the fate of our heroic three?
That would be the guillotines here and the special game they're about to play. I mean, come on, Matt. Decency doesn't put food into the mouths of his wives.
Oh, Kitson must be from out west, Pete. But yes, there is that guillotine blade, and it comes with a Johnny Cochran-esque tagline, "Can't hold the weight? Decapitate," to end the act.
Act three, and who will be the first to die? The scoundrel who tried to steal Kitson's most coveted brothel worker? Or the Terrans?
Still unnamed mysterious redhead puts a knife to Kitson, who you would think would have better security, but I digress, Pete. She wants the Terrans, so if he, Kitson, has Beardo be the one that gets killed, she'll buy Fitzsimmons. With that, zip-zap-zoop, Beardo is no more. Pete, very little camera time spent to, you know, beheading a character in the 8 o'clock hour on the American Broadcasting Company, as owned by, you know, the ostensibly most beloved corporation in the entire world, that of Mr. Walter Disney. We don't get much behead time here, but Red's buying drinks for our favorite couple. Hooray!
The Terrans prevail in an upset, underscoring that anything can happen in Kitson City on the planet of Kitson. Back to Earth, where Mac reveals to Daisy that Sarge is a match to Coulson, the same DNA, but it's not him. They talk about how things change when you're actually running the show.
Yes, and Daisy notes that Coulson struggled with leadership at times as well, so Mac shouldn't worry. What he should worry about is why he is still split up from Yo-Yo. That little thread remains dangling as Deke saunters on in with info about the tracker. He can hack it. And then, Pete, take us to Zephyr One.
Deke has hacked the technology here, conveniently off screen, Matt. But these two other dots, they're moving toward each other, which means that our agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. need to move towards them. Yo-Yo and May are going to head after them there. They're going to split up and then bring them back.
Back to HQ goes the story. Agent Khan, remember him? He checks on Jocko, who isn't breathing. Then all of a sudden, Pete, he is breathing, but looks like he's breathing vape. Can you just remind everybody some of the dangers of vaping?
That would be popcorn lung, and the fact that, unlike traditional cigarettes, stay off those as well, which we have 100 plus years of medical data about, probably 60 of which after doctors used to endorse them in commercials, causing all the issues there. I'd lay off the vape we don't really even understand yet.
Especially if you're from the planet where Jocko is from, because his vape turns into fire. Cut to snow. She smiles to end the act. Pete, over the act break, not much happens. He's still breathing fire. The team reacts, and in narrative speediness, speedy guys and girls here, Quake quakes the door into Jocko's face. Problem solved. Mac spraying that fire extinguisher. I guess he was turning into a dragon.
He was to be their ticket out. Instead, Matt, we fly to Fort Dodge, Iowa, and Des Moines, Iowa. In Fort Dodge, there is an Asian man who is behind the wheel of a car. In Des Moines, there is a business-looking man enters a room there. They are quickly gagged and tagged by our agents. May tells us, wheels up in five, of course, to be brought back to the lighthouse.
Back to Kitson City on the planet Kitson. No Mr. Kitson in this scene, though. Enoch thanks Izelle, who introduces herself thusly. Cheers, they're free, or at least they're free under her. She came to recruit those with nothing to lose. Their knowledge can be such a help to her. She's searching for artifacts, and they say, no, we only know of one planet. And she says, no, I'm looking for artifacts on Earth. Pete, it's also conveniently aligned here because Izelle, you understand, is going to help bring them home. There's only one problem, no ship.
Yes, she does have a salvaged jump drive, however. Put a story pin in that. Back to Sarge, who notes the persistence here of Mac. However, he tried to recruit May. He won't be there much longer, you know. But Mac explains that they put out Jacko's fire, and they have some more witty repartee before Sarge notes he doesn't think he's ever going to call Earth home or Mac friend.
He is told they've caught two strikes, and he kind of shrugs at the strikes, at least at the news of the strikes. Cut to Zephyr One and the Quinjet hooking up professionally. Both of the strike people seem calm and contained. They both get put into a containment box. That's when they shake, they get free, they shake, and they shriek, those with strikes, to end the act.
Act 5, aboard the Zephyr 1, our guys are shaking and shrieking.
It's a strike dance party, Pete. That's just what it is.
Strike dance party is even better. Okay. Mac tells them to keep them contained. He knew, Matt. Sarge knew. Just a guess, those shrike, they get a little spooky on you. That's because they're getting ready to kill everyone on that aircraft. They start to impale one another, and we're told that if they put them on the ground, that will just give them more to consume. Sarge wants his team and his truck, and he'll give them something maybe to save their plane.
Mac greenlights the deal. It's time to hit the box with cold. There's a discussion, can Yo-Yo and the other agent get out in time? No, they're just going to hold on and grab the oxygen tanks. The ramp opens up. Yo-Yo watches the crystals continue to grow. It stops just in time, courtesy of the cold. Yo-Yo, do you copy? Dramatic pause. Do you copy? Dramatic pause. She's good. Zephyr One is safe. Everyone's heading home. Hoorah, Pete. Back to HQ.
Sarge is telling them not to get comfortable here, however. There's a lot more where those two came from, and their maker is coming.
What's next? Everyone looks to Sarge. Told ya, Pete, like the name of the episode, to end the act. Take us to the tag scene.
Oh no, not again. Our snail toting lackeys from last time, Matt on the planet of Kitson. The ship now, theirs is now going to be Izelle's and Fitz's if they don't step on one another here. Izelle finally given the courtesy. They're going to take the ship and the crew for Earth. But wait, you can't get that deep with this ship. But they have a drive, and it's their credits to waste.
Pete, then the episode did something that shocked me, that saddened me. Enoch prepared to say goodbye. He said that his mission was complete. Earth has been saved. Fitz is back. He has a new mission to find a new home for his people. I thought at any moment they would undo this goodbye, but no, he's leaving. Fitz and Enoch hug. There's even the Fitz gives the back pat and walks away without making eye contact because Pete emotions are high. Enoch does, though, leave them a space cell phone. He will not miss Fitz. He is bluffing to end the episode and break our hearts.
The dossier.
A detailed look at our bad guys.
Pete, we must start with Sarge, who's the capo de capo, the head of the operation here, and who told us he'd be in charge at the end. And here he is at the end, all eyes on him.
Told ya. Yeah, we continue to double down on him, that he's presented with holographic Coulson in this episode, yet he still engineers a situation where he comes out on top. The DNA aspect continues to puzzle, has everybody on screen and off guessing here. Compelling, Matt.
It is. We go from that deeply nuanced and triumphant character to Snowflake, who gets a little less screen time than Sarge. But she continues her wide-eyed craziness, where I think we want to like her, except the things that she says remind us that she is a crazy killer.
She is. She seems to know more than we do, obviously, but that it doesn't all come to pass, what with Jacko failing in their bid to break out there. Just have to wait for next week for more on her, more on Jacko.
More on Jacko, indeed. I love that in our bad guy, who tries to, or maybe not tried to kill Khan, but could have killed the very nice Agent Khan, Jacko and the performer behind him get this lovely monologue about life on the home planet and things were beautiful and, you know, being the youngest of seven or eight and son of a baker and all of that. And it was a really nice character moment.
There's going to be a little bit more to that in coming weeks, Matt, if you look ahead, but I digress. The breathing of the fire, not something I think any of us saw coming.
Definitely not. So good job on your story twists and turns that nonetheless fit into what we previously knew about the character, even though we didn't see that twist and turn. Pete, we must conclude with Kitson, the third of Kitson City, of the planet Kitson, third of his name. And it's Anthony Michael Hall. Chicka-chicka.
I sure hope they didn't go out and get Anthony Michael Hall, you know, ex of many genre TV shows and of Hollywood for, 30 plus years to be in one episode, right?
Pete, I think you're being sarcastic, and I think we're going to see more of living legend Anthony Michael Hall in this duplicitous role of Mr. Kitson. Because let's not forget, Pete, they have yet to leave the planet. But Pete, helping us leave the planet for every episode, that's the people who go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek and help support the podcast.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content, all sorts of levels from there. But it takes just a dollar to get you in the door to our Fantastic Geek Space Casino.
Welcome to Level 7.
Time to analyze and theorize. Matt, let's talk multiverse.
Yes. I start with a repetition of my joke. As not quite a joke, knowing how Marvel TV is kind of boxed out from the film end, you know, knowing that Spider-Verse was coming out after this episode was probably in the scripting process. I don't know whether they had an inkling that Spider-Man Far From Home would mention multiverses, but I know that, you know, Spider-Verse did. So I like that they're plucking something from something Marvel and bringing it here.
Interesting. Jacko mentions a baker. There's an episode coming called The Baker.
Well, I would welcome more Jacko. I'd welcome backstory. I'd welcome if we're going to meet his father, one of his bigger brothers, whatever it might be, if we're going to get a Jacko backstory, because of course people from his planet are currently dead. Whatever it is, I say bring it on. Pete, would it be a bridge too far to say, you know, Baker, bread, daily bread, Christ connection here? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Ooh, with all this talk of gods, you know, Sarge has met gods, been up close to them. Asgardians, maybe, or others, who knows? This fire breathing that Jacko can do, is this a special gimmick or is this something that's normal?
I think that it is what happens when he's breathing the wrong air. Pete, I think, for example, how sometimes there's a magical fruit that you can eat that leads to gases coming out that you wouldn't normally want coming out. Perhaps it's a variation of that with his weirdo alien form, because let's not forget, Pete, he's an alien on the inside. On the outside, he looks like a 7-foot tall human, but he's a weirdo alien with weirdo alien powers.
Now that Daisy is back, she has learned that Mac and Yo-Yo have split up and that she brings it up here. Of course they're going to get back together now, right? And she's going to be the one to do it.
I would hope that in the six remaining episodes this season, that we can see love happen. We can see them get back together. I think that it would make sense that by the end of this season, if there's that arc of they're totally split up and Keller is in the way, and then there's trouble after Keller dies, and then they find their way back together as a couple. I think that that is a totally sensible 13-episode arc to undergo.
How long until Daisy learns about Deke's true inspiration for his billions?
I would like to think, Pete, that episode 613, tag scene, kind of taking inspiration from the final scene of Spider-Man Homecoming, there's some sort of Deke back at the tech place, and Daisy comes in, and it's like, Deke, what the... boom, next week, coming up next on 2020, more awful killers. Seamless transition from a funny to death and bank robbers.
Izzel and the mention of these artifacts... gotta be the monoliths, right?
I would certainly hope so. If there's more ancient power things that are to be found by our agents, I wouldn't rule it out, but I think, yes, we're probably going to loop back to that in some form.
Decrypted transmissions.
Let's check the wire.
Pete, we start, as we do so often, with our poll. What did you think of tonight's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? 1 star, Bad Earth Air. That's your 5%. 2 stars, Google Brain. That got 6%. 3 stars, Wait, Decapitate. That got 22%. And a hearty 67% voting. 4 stars, Told Ya. And we had a comment from Andre Yeager. That's at Dr. Polo 1983. They are rolling now. Looks like everyone will come together next week. Not a lot of wasted time in any of these episodes. I think the short episode order has forced them to write tight storylines.
I would definitely agree. I mean, there's been some silliness, but there's also been a very clear trajectory.
And Pete, following up on some of the silliness, perhaps from last week, we got a message from a listener who says, in response to our less enthusiastic take on last week's episode, the listener says as follows: if someone enjoyed the episode, they're being dishonest and licking boots. That's a pretty cynical, grouchy take. By planting this flag, you're, referring to us, discouraging any honest discussion of the show or the episode. Any attempt to explain other points will be colored in your eyes by that preconception. Close quote, Pete. Your thoughts?
I don't think it's a thing to point out, when something's a dishonest take. I mean, if something doesn't feel right, it's... somebody's opinion, and they're entitled to do that. The same way, if somebody likes something, they're entitled to like it. To each their own, man.
And I think too, we were talking kind of, you know, this idea of not being honest with your audience, for the sake of other things. Now, this is not just an issue with S.H.I.E.L.D. podcasts or Marvel blogs. This is part of what's wrong with fandom in general. That's what we were commenting on, the fact that people suck up to get favor from big Hollywood machines, supposedly, as opposed to just having a conversation with your audience, which is what we try and do with Fantastic Geek. With that, Pete, take us to Facebook.
Steve Adams writes in to the Fantastic Geek Facebook page, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 606. That was one of the most manic episodes of the entire series, and it was so fun. I think this is one of the five best episodes of the entire series. Very memorable episode.
Certainly memorable. I maybe was not as enthusiastic as he was, but a memorable outing nonetheless.
Greg Gear also wrote in, random thought, Sarge is fake Coulson or a faux Coulson or Folson? You're welcome.
I mean, works for me. Hashtag Folson. Let's get it out there. Pete, before we talk that prize, which you mentioned nearly 30 minutes ago, let me remind everybody that with Spider-Man Far From Home coming out in this upcoming holiday weekend, of course, it releases on Tuesday. That's when we're going to see it. But, you know, we know people love to get their comments in, so we're not going to podcast it until the end of next weekend, sometime on Sunday. So if you want to share your comments for Spider-Man Far From Home, get them in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, maybe even Sunday morning, to any of our normal contact locations.
So let's talk that previously mentioned giveaway, Matt. I have in my hands not one, not two, but three Marvel movie digital download codes that will be going to our winner of a drawing during our Spider-Man Far From Home podcast at the very end there for reviews left to iTunes to any of our 18 podcast feeds. You can win yourself, in particular order here, Matt, a Captain Marvel digital download code. You'd also be getting a Spider-Man Homecoming digital download code and the Thor Ragnarok digital download code. All three yours. You enter the drawing by leaving a review, again, to any of our iTunes feeds.
And it always helps if you then reach out via Facebook, Twitter, Twitter DM, Gmail, etc., to just say, hey, I left a review under such and such name. That way, if your review is the winning one picked, we can be in touch with you. Because if we can't get in touch with you, then we'll probably just have to re-record that and pick somebody else so that we can get it to them.
So again, you can have up to 18 chances to win these three digital download codes. You decide whether that's worth it to you.
Exciting indeed, Pete. How can people be in touch with you to talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., to talk about how they left a review so they are in the running to win that prize?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R-J-K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 10,554 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word, like it today.
Well, if you're listening on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, buckle up. We got this posting now. We have a Star Trek goodie posting tomorrow. We have Jessica Jones on Sunday. Then we'll probably take a little rest on Monday, but before you know it, we'll be doing it all again, continuing Jessica Jones, again, Spider-Man Far From Home, S.H.I.E.L.D., etc. Great time to be talking all this stuff, but with that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
See you soon. Don't let the fire go out.